I'm Randy, one of the pastors here at Adventure, and if this is your first time here, we're so glad that you've joined us. It's really our privilege to have you here, and one of the things we do at Adventure is we want to have our young folks, our junior high and elementary, in our service with us for worship, because we're family, and it's things really critical for us to be bonded together and worship together as a family, as an entire family. But also we have some age-appropriate classes available. And so, but before we release you guys to go to those, I want to pray. I want to pray over you, pray commissioning over you, and ask the Holy Spirit to move. So let's pray. Would you guys pray with me for them? Jesus, we also pray for us, just the adults who stay in here, Lord, that your Spirit would come and use this time to bring your transformation. Holy Spirit, would you speak? And then, Lord, for our young people, Lord, would you bless them? Holy Spirit, would you go before them? Lord, you know each young person, each child's journey. You know their bent, their design. You design them. You knit them together. Lord, you know what words will land against their heart and be able to root from you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd bless them and the leaders and teachers, the staff, the junior high staff, the elementary staff that are teaching. Lord, would you bless them and be very present in that time? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys are dismissed. There are leaders in the back holding up signs. And you can go, and we're gonna kick off this morning with a video clip for the rest of us. And so this is from the film Walter Mitty. How many of you seen that? Okay, this is just the opening scene. So let's take a look at Walter Mitty.
Yeah, I flew. Yeah. Yeah, I flew.
That should be the second clip.
Harmony. How can I help you today?
Hi. I can't seem to leave a wink for someone. I don't know. Is my page broken? Do I maybe have a broken page or...
Oh, I've never heard of that, but okay. You're trying to use your eHarmony account for the first time?
I am.
Okay. I'm looking at your profile. We have a pretty intricate matching algorithm. That's what distinguishes us from other online dating services.
Yeah, I like that. Actually, I'm just trying to leave a wink for one person. Cheryl Melhoff. She started in my division at work about a month ago, and I overheard her near the bagel saying she was on your site.
Okay, that's unique. But let me ask you, you left a lot of this stuff, like the been there, done that section. You left it blank.
Yeah, I think I skipped it.
Okay, well, you've got to help me out here, man. Don't skip stuff.
Okay, well, I haven't really been anywhere noteworthy or mentionable.
Have you done anything noteworthy, mentionable? Hello?
Oh, gosh, I love that scene. So, did you notice the white hallway walls when he was walking out? And how he's walking in the crowds, kind of just walking on the sidewalk, and everybody else looks like they're going somewhere, and they're moving faster than him. He's sort of just going through life, you know, with this sort of checked out lack of direction. Walter Mitty's a man who only daydreamed about living. He only daydreamed about taking risk, daydreamed about, and the film's all about his dreaming of living courageously and dangerously, living a frontier lifestyle, but he never had. And he'd settled for his active imagination. Who is that like? Yeah. You? You raised your hand. Who is that like? Yeah? You? You? What do we do? Where do we live on the edge? Isn't it in front of a screen? In our society, we get our adventure, our sense of life on the edge, through the active imagination of others put on a screen for us, right? So I think that's part of the depth of what the author of this film was trying to get at. Walter Mitty stayed behind his secure job, his secure life at Life magazine. He kept track of the photo negatives for 20 years. Okay? He had insurance policies. He kept his mouth shut when there was confrontation. He had built a risk-free cocoon. He lived alone. He never married. This lifestyle showed. It demonstrated. People literally looked right past him, right? As though he wasn't even there. And it wasn't until his 40s that he began to realize something's missing. Something in me hasn't been developed. Something in my fiber as a man, as a human being, is missing. And he decided he wanted it back. So one of the life photographers who lived on the edge, who stepped out into danger and photographed tigers in the Himalayas, and he went missing. And the magazine couldn't find him. They needed a negative. So Walter Mitty took it on himself to make a change, and he bought a plane ticket, because the last known place of this photographer was Greenland. So he buys a plane ticket and flies to Greenland in search of this photographer, and you get this scene.
Flew a mail out to the Erkersnerk Tuesday. Gave him a ride. He took that photo of my hand on the stick.
I'm just blown away. I located your thumb.
There's like 8 people in Greenland. I mean, it's a good place to find a thumb.
Yeah.
Don't cheat on your lady, man. You live in a country that only has 8 people in it. By the way,
So.
You're a scrappy. You're a little scrappy Duncan. So you're trying to find this guy?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm flying some radio parts out there in 5 minutes. He may still be on the boat.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe you could come with me.
Yeah, or maybe I could just call him on the boat phone.
The boat phone?
The phone on the boat.
You mean the ship to shore?
Yeah, maybe I could just, I could ask him on the ship to shore.
The radio's broke. That's why I'm flying out there now.
Huh. You flying out right now?
I'm just going to finish my beer.
The weather doesn't look so great.
It's not.
Looks like there's a storm moving in.
Yeah.
A brewing.
Yeah.
But you're just going to finish your beer and then fly a machine?
Yeah. I'm kind of nervous about the storm. Just want to get a couple of beers down. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to go with you.
Yeah. Whatever. See you, man.
Okay. See you. Okay.
Contrast, huh? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're stepping out? You're stepping out into something that you might not survive. Stepping out into risk and danger, and it feels like it's really, if God doesn't do a miracle, you're in trouble. I was on a retreat about 12 years ago. 13 years ago, maybe now, just beginning to learn to listen to the voice of God, just beginning this journey. For 20 years before that, I believed that, and I grew up in a church and in a Christian backstory that believed that the Word of God, the written Word of God, was all that there was. And I loved it. I cherished it and still do. But once God finished the Bible, it was finito, done. God was done speaking, and so that was all there was. And I was a student of the Word of God, and still am, love the Word of God. But I started to find out that all through Scripture, you see this conversation with God is available. You see it over and over again, specific to the point of an address on a street in Acts chapter 10. Go to this address, and so there are these interactions between God and man that the Bible is filled with. And so I started to lean into that, and I was on a retreat that was it was designed to help, it was a men's retreat, help men learn to listen to God. And we were sitting around a campfire, and we would, the way the retreat went, you'd sit around the campfire and one of the leaders would be sharing, for about a half an hour about a topic, about hearing God. And then we would go off and spend an hour, hour and a half asking God about that topic. And on this particular, it was the opening session of the retreat, and the leader was Bill Snyder, who is the chairman of the elder board at our mother church, Cascade in Monroe, and he shared a list of biblical reasons why people can't hear God. And I shared that list with you last week. By the way, we're in a series about getting closer to God, going deeper in your relationship with God, and we're talking about he is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And so we're talking about how to listen to God's voice. Last week, we spent the entire time talking about the accuracy, the significance of the written word of God, how it is the most basic and reliable way to hear God's voice, and we need to be in the word of God. And today, we're kind of finishing up this sheep shepherd with how-tos. How do you learn to listen to that still, small voice? We talked about God speaks in whispers, last week I shared this list. Now, rewind with me for a second. I'm sitting around the campfire. Bill Snyder, the chairman of the board at Cascade, hands us out this list on a piece of paper. And, okay, he says, guys, this is why some of you can't hear God's voice. Lack of desire. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do you really want to hear? Unconfessed sin, Psalm 66. If I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Refusing to forgive or be forgiven. Request with wrong motives, James says. Supernatural resistance. And last week we talked about Daniel 10 and how God sent his answer immediately when Daniel started praying, but it took 21 days for the angel to break through to get the answer to Daniel because of demonic resistance. And you can study chapter 10 of Daniel to see that. A rift with your spouse, or ignoring God's instructions. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They'll look for me, but will not find me. And so I was kind of bummed, actually. Bill gives me this list, and he says, okay, guys, go out and ask the Lord if there's anything on this list that's standing between you and him. Is there anything on this list causing you to not be able to hear God? And I like being encouraged. I like messages that are uplifting and encouraging. I don't want to hear a message that might be a list of sins or things I got to deal with, right? How many of you are like me like that? I really want the encouraging stuff. So I went and sat down. I went about a quarter mile walk, and I sat down on a rock. I can still remember the brown rock. It was about this big. I sat down on the rock, and I said, Lord, is there anything on this list that I have that's between us? And he said, yes, you've sinned against me. And I said, what have I done? And he said, you have not planted the church I commanded you to plant. And you need to know the backstory about that, because I'm just learning to lean into hearing God. So rewind 2 months before that day, and it's the middle of the night, 2 o'clock. I can't sleep. I feel God is saying to me, you know, you need to get up and talk to me. So I don't want to talk out. I like to talk out loud to the Lord. So I get up so I don't wake my wife up. I go into the bathroom, close the door, sit on the edge of the tub. And I'm like, what's going on? He said, I want you to plant a church based on Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and a release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the age of the Lord's favor. That's Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And he said, I want you to plant a church that's about healing the brokenhearted. And I said, okay. And then I did nothing. I went 2 months. I never told anybody. I never said anything to anybody. I held it. I was Walter Mitty. I was afraid. Okay? And for me, jumping in that helicopter would have been telling somebody. Telling the lead pastor, telling the elder board at Cascade. But I didn't. And I was going into my fall all with all of my plans, because I was the adult ministry pastor, and I was put all the plans were going on. I had posters being made for all these different things we were doing, and I wasn't obeying God, and I was getting hit. He said, this is where you are, Randy. Since you ignored my advice and would not accept my rebuke or my words, then you will call to me, and I will not answer. And he said, repent. And I said, okay, and I cried, and I repented, and I said, okay, I'll tell. I'll jump in the helicopter. I'll go. I'll obey. And by the way, while you're talking, where do you want me to plant the church? And he said, Duval. And for me, that was super counterintuitive because I lived in Snohomish, and if I ever did want to pastor a church, it was going to be Snohomish, Lake Stevens area. So Duval was just, you know, out there. Duval people are weird, you know? And so anyway, it was terrifying, actually, to consider planting a church. So much so, when I sat on the rock, I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm willing to have a Job experience, if that's what you're calling me into. Because I was pretty sure it would be. I'm willing to lose everything and be a great experience failure for God. I literally said that when I was sitting there praying, because I was pretty sure I would. I was pretty sure it wouldn't work. What did that reveal about what I believed about God and his leading? Lack of trust. Huh? Yeah, are you going to be all in, or are you going to get me out there and then, you know, get me out on the ledge and then go on vacation? Right? Huh? He's not my provider, and he certainly can't provide for me in a way that's going to rescue me when the chips are down. You ever step out and do something you were terrified to do and think, unless God shows up, there's no way this is going to work. There's no way. All is lost. Howard Macy said this. The true spiritual life is what? Always frontier. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Do you think that's a true statement? The true spiritual life is always frontier. When you enter the realm of hearing God, you open yourself up to living frontier. You enter the lifestyle of Abraham. Go to a land I will show you. Pick up stakes. Go to a land I'll show you. You enter the realm of Moses. Go to Pharaoh. Or Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Or Ananias. Go place hands on Saul. Usually, it feels counterintuitive. When it comes to hearing God, I think without that, okay, I'll go to a new land that you call me to. Without that, I'm not sure how easy it is to hear God. Unless you're at a place to go, okay, I'll pick up stakes and follow you. It might be really hard to hear his voice. Dear friend of mine, Joel King. Joel and Lorena and Renee and Ian. Joel was in our men's ministry, and he would come to men's, and we did a retreat similar to this, where we were like, okay, guys, you know, here's the list. Go, you know, that was Cascades retreat I was telling you about a few minutes ago when I went, but then we repeated it. Joel's there. He gets the piece of paper. You know, he goes out, spends time with the Lord. This guy went a year, and he would meet with me. He's like, I don't hear God. I'm trying. I can't hear God. You keep talking about hearing God's voice. I can't hear it. And then finally, he admitted. He came and he said, the reason why I'm not able to hear God's voice is because I don't want to. I said, why don't you want to? He said, because, and he's tears coming down. He said, because I think if I hear God speak, I know he's going to tell me to go to Africa. Dude's a software salesman, online software salesman. And he's like, I think God's going to, I'm like, why would you think that? You know, and he's like, I just know he's going to tell me, my dad's a missionary. I'm going to have to go to the mission field. I don't want to go to Africa. And you guys are chuckling because where is that picture taken? Joel went to the next retreat about a year later, and he said, he came to me. I was sitting at the campfire, and he runs up to me. He's like, "You wouldn't believe it." And I'm like, "What?" He said, "I went to God, and I said, okay, I'm willing to go to Africa. If that's what it's going to take to hear your voice, that level of surrender, I'll go." And he said, "You know what he said? I heard God speak." And I said, "What did he say?" And he said, "Joel, why would you think I'm that kind of father that would just do to you what you don't want? What have you agreed to about my heart?" And he's just crying. He says, "I've believed God's heart toward me is not safe and not good." And he was like, "And I've repented." And then he launched him into a year of walking with God in ways that he's never walked with God, hearing God's voice. And then the next retreat, no kidding, he comes up to me again. He said, "I went out and I was spending time with God. And guess what he said? Go to Africa." And he said, "And I can tell you that I want nothing else but to go to Africa." It's always frontier. Living this life, the true spiritual life, really learning to listen to God, it's always frontier. Listen to Jesus on this topic. He said, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" I always thought that was just the weirdest thing for Jesus to say. Like, that's just ridiculous, right? And, I mean, just the analogy is weird. Agree? What's he really saying? What he's saying is that, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, dad, I'm looking for something. My stomach's hurting. I need some food. You know, I'm hungry, right? I'm going to give you something that actually will not satisfy your hunger." I think that's what he's saying is, why would you think, you know, if your son asked for something to satisfy his hunger, would you give him something that won't satisfy his hunger, right? And the picture is for you, if you ask God for something to satisfy your hunger, "God, I need a job. Lord, my job is killing me. I need a different job. Lord, I need my marriage. It's not working like it should. Something's wrong. I need my heart changed. I need to have a love for my spouse. Or, Lord, my daughter's really going through a dark time. I don't know how to reach her." If you are hungry for something that needs filling and you ask God for it, he's saying, why would you think he'd give you something that wouldn't fill your belly? And he says, "Or if you ask for a fish, will he give him a snake?" And that's kind of a little bit different thing. That's a little bit more like Joel or me, right? If I ask God to speak to me, speak to my heart, he's going to tell me to do something I don't want. He's going to tell me, he's going to give me something that will bite me. It's even worse than the rock. It'll actually bite me. "Okay, God, I'll go plant a church for you. But I deep down know that's going to mean that I'm going to be Job. It's going to bite me. I was right here. I was doing exactly what Jesus was saying. Why would you think that way about your father?" But don't we? Don't you really? When it comes to really following and hearing? Maybe not. Maybe I definitely get to be the example of somebody who needs to grow a lot. And so he says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good," meaning God's not evil, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, good Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him?" Luke's version of this says, how many of you would give, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit freely to those who ask him. Really interesting. Good gifts. So Jesus is saying, we have a problem with what we think about God. And so it causes us to not want to hear God. But Let me just one more sentence on this. How many of you have thought, and I got to tell you, in my office when I meet with people, I see this all the time. People think that if God leads them in a direction, he's typically doing it, or if difficult circumstances are happening in their life, why is God sending those difficult circumstances? To do what? Huh? I'm sorry? That's not what I typically hear. Punish? Not really, but teach him a lesson. Basically, I know God's sending this. Don't you think that way sometimes? To teach me something. He's letting this difficult thing happen because he's trying to teach me a lesson. Right? That's not his heart. That's not his heart. Now, sometimes he definitely does bring challenges, and scriptures fill with that. You know, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything, Colossians says. But God's standard mode isn't, I'm going to kind of just arrange things to kind of teach you a lesson because you're such a knucklehead. Okay, but once you do like Joel did, you know, he's a good father. And I trust you, God, and I will surrender my life to you. And then you start to listen to his voice, and you start to live frontier, and you start to step out and do some wild things, because he will invite you to do wild things. He will invite you to do wild things. Because of that, or when you start to step out in there, guess what? You won't want to go back. You will not want to go back to not hearing. You will not want to go back to a less frontier lifestyle. Let's look at one more clip. This is Walter Mitty. What happened before this clip is Walter gets taken out in the helicopter, and he has to get into this boat, and there's no way to get in the boat except for him to jump into the sea. They're in a storm, you know, and so he jumps into the sea, and then he feels a fish go by. It touched him, and he thinks it's a porpoise, and it's a shark. And so they drag him out just in time before the shark eats him, and then you get this scene.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Todd? From eHarmony?
Yeah. Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much. How have you been?
Good. It's early here. I just got up, man. I was thinking about you.
Where are you?
Los Angeles. Hey, so your profile still hasn't received any winks, even though I put that you've been to Phoenix.
Oh, I jumped out of a helicopter yesterday into the ocean. And had a shark fight.
Yeah. Listen, I was mentioning before, people who daydream too much, they're not content.
No, it was real. It really did.
Really? Then I'll put down adrenaline junkie. What kind of a shark? Was it like a...
Hey, Todd. I can't really talk right now. I'm on my way to a volcano.
What the...
Yeah, you start living this life, you're not going to want to stop. It is the ultimate adventure. You have a heart that's actually designed in the image of the greatest adventurer in the universe. When you think about how he designed this planet, how he designed us, subdue, rule the earth, subdue it, discover the equator. He put in us what is already in him as his image bearers, and then he says, go. But in our modern society, we have so secured ourselves from all risk that part of us has gone to sleep, and that's the part of us that can follow God. That's the part of us that lives frontier. That's the part of us that steps out and risks, and that's the life to the full that you were made to enjoy. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it hard to hear your voice sometimes? Why, Lord, is it that some folks, when I work with people as a pastor, they just hear your voice pretty quickly after they start trying, and other people really have a tough time? And this is what he said. This is just from my journal when I asked that question. So you can weigh this and ask if it's from the Lord, okay? I'm just offering this as this is what I believe he said to me. He said, Randy, it's hard to hear my voice. I said, why, Lord? He said, first of all, Randy, you need to want to hear me. Second, my voice is quiet. You have to slow down and tune in. You have to center yourself and listen. The noise in your head is so loud, it needs to be silenced. Third, your enemy would do anything and does everything in his power to stop you from hearing me because it is foolish to allow them to hear me. But the barrier of spiritual warfare serves its purpose. Only the hungry push through it. Fourth, my people don't really want to hear me because they're afraid of what I might say. They think that I'm someone who does not really love them and that my words would be harsh or like a father who would give them a snake. And fifth, possibly the greatest reason, Randy, is many do not hear is that they have little or no intention to follow what I would say. So you can just weigh that. I want to spend the rest of our time going through some how-tos, how to hear God. And I've got like a little note sheet. It's in your bulletin. And if you don't have a bulletin or a pen now, you want to get one. And so you don't need to get up. The ushers are ready. You just have to slip your hand up and you just leave it up. And they will bring you pens and bulletins. In the bulletin is a sheet with a list of sort of fill-in-the-blanks, kind of a worksheet for you to go through. And I think that'll help us kind of just work through this. So as they're handing this out, just a few how-tos. Oh, hello. We've really gone back. Let's find it. Interesting. The first thing on the list here is start with surrender. Surrender. Learning to hear God, practicing hearing God is something, it's a lifestyle to be chosen. Okay? It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. Jesus, should I say this right now? Jesus, should I take this phone call right now? Jesus, should I say yes to this position at work? I mean, imagine approaching life like that. For some of you, that's like normal now. But for others, that would be a complete paradigm change. It totally puts you out of the driver's seat. And it really is a submitted sort of, should I do this right now? Should I, you know what I mean, in detail. You are trusted sons and daughters of God. And so he knows you're not stupid. You don't have to ask him what color of socks and whether you should tie your shoes in the morning. Those sorts of things, you know, he trusts you with those and a lot more, a lot. And more does he want to trust you with. But at the same time, there is this submitted lifestyle. Yes, I will go to Africa. Yes, I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to go. I'm willing to hear yes to this or no. Lord, should we buy the car? Should we buy the car? I really want the car. I really want the car. All right, can you hear no? Have anybody been there? Oh, it's so hard to hear God when you really want something, right? And so Start with surrender. The next one is go to a place. This might be the most important thing. Go to a place of sonship, not slave. Daughterhood. There's no such thing as daughtership, is there? Daughterhood. Actively reject slave. Galatians 4 says, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law that we might receive what? Full rights as sons. This is a worthy verse to memorize. A couple of verses. We were slaves. And I think that whole mentality of, well, God's just going to teach me a lesson, it's not going to go well, that's slave thinking. Versus, I'm a son of the living God. I receive that. I put it on. I am your son. I put on sonship, and a son is treated, or a daughter is treated with favor. And I, putting that on is critical to hear God. Okay? If you come from the posture of, well, I'm not going to hear. I'm not as spiritual as Randy or somebody, you know, Jeff or whoever. I'm just a slave. Well, don't expect to hear. He calls you a son. He calls you a daughter. So coming from that posture is critical. Recognize he speaks with creativity and flair. He will use words, pictures, dreams. He'll organize circumstances. I went to coffee with Nate, the pastor of Cascade, and I was a youth pastor in Bellevue. And he said, hey, bro, we went to school together. So he said, we're looking to plant a church someday, and we also need an adult ministries pastor. Would you ever consider becoming an adult ministries pastor and then maybe planting a church someday out of Cascade? And Cascade was like a year and a half old at the time. And I was like, well, maybe I'll pray about it. And he's like, well, you pray about it. I'll go see if I'll go talk to my people and see if I can even come up with the money for a position. I don't even know if we have the money, but I just you came to mind. I thought I would ask you to pray about it and, you know, bring it up to you. So I'm like, cool. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I wasn't hearing God back then. And so, it was circumstances. God will arrange circumstances was hearing God. And that's totally works. So I was like, after a month of prayer, and I heard zip from Nate. Zero. And I'm like praying for a month. And I remember being in the garage at the workbench, looking out the window. And I was like, God, I just need you to send a sign. Because I can't figure this out, whether I should go or not. And you know that whole Gideon thing? Remember Gideon in the Old Testament puts out a fleece, right, to see if it's wet in the morning, and you know that whole thing? He gets bashed for that. People put him down. Like, he didn't have faith. No, he was wanting to know for sure it was God speaking to him, which I think is legit. And so I'm like, Lord, would you just give me a sign? The phone rings. After a month, I'm like, literally, the words came out of my mouth. The phone rings. It's Nate. Hey, I've got the money. Can you come? God will arrange things. And it kind of this similar with this is, you know that whole wrestling match you have? How many of you wrestled with the, is this God or is this just me making this up? Look around, everybody. Okay, so you're not alone. We all deal with that. He has a way of validating. Give yourself some freedom. Write down what you believe he's saying and let him validate it. Do you think he validated that I was supposed to go to Cascade? I think it was validation. And over again, when I've said to God, okay, this is what I think you're saying, would you send validation? He does. And if he doesn't, then I go, well, I don't know. There's a lot of voices out there. There's my voice. My heart speaks really loud. Sometimes I can misinterpret it as God's voice. So ask for validation. That is not in your notes, by the way. Next one is start with small questions. Be kind to yourself. You know, should I take the job? Should we sell the house? Should we go to Africa? Those are big questions. How about, a little bit smaller things? You know, start with smaller questions. Lord, you know, what do you want to say to me about my daughter? What do you want to say to me about my struggle at work? You know, things that are not quite the giant ones. And then maybe even start with questions you already know the answer to. Lord, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Okay, Lord, I hear you saying you love me. You get the pipeline flowing with questions that you already know the answer to, and then you can go to the ones you don't. Get quiet inside. Release the drama to God. Have you ever tried to pray and it's just every thought other than God goes into your mind? I mean, anything. I mean, it's just like your brain just goes scattered. Do you think that's just you? You're just stupid, or you just can't keep on track? You're just a scatterbrain? Or could there be supernatural resistance? Okay, we're going to talk about that next, but just the getting quiet inside, you know, that sort of settling yourself. His voice is very quiet. He does want you tuned in. We talked about this last week, to that whisper that we saw in 1 Kings 19. And so it's really important to just settle yourself. And I've usually got about 10 things. That's over-exaggeration. I probably have about 4 or 5 things that I'm stressing about. What I do in my journal is I write them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I write a couple of words for each one. And I say, God, these are things I would love for you to address at some point, but I want to release them to you now and now listen to you on what you want to talk about. Writing them down and doing that sort of releases them to God for me, and then I'm not stuck in them. Does that make sense? So release them to God. Release the drama to God, and then what do you want to talk about? And you know what he always does? He'll talk about something totally different than any of those things. And I'll be listening on those, and it'll be about his love for me as a son or something really awesome. And then, boom, 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 down the line, he'll deal with them for me. He's so kind. And so, but sometimes you got to tune in without getting the drama out of there. Okay, another one is do warfare. Take authority over your airspace. Okay, can I just tell you about... we've talked about doing warfare, praying out loud, right? Demons can't read your mind, so you pray out loud. You do warfare out loud in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, right? Don't tell demons they're not welcome here. Any demons, you're not welcome here. They know they're not welcome here. They know, okay? You stand in the authority of the Lord. I stand in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been imparted to me in Luke chapter 10 and Matthew 28 as his regent, wielding his authority. I stand in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you're experiencing distraction. Pay attention. Man, I'm so distracted. If there's some kind of demonic resistance causing distraction, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Now, you may go, well, gosh, that's really hocus pocus, and this is weird, and it is weird. There is a spiritual realm, and we see Daniel 10. We see Ephesians 6 saying, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with demons, according to Paul, right? It's real. So many of you have heard the story. One of the early times me hearing God, right after I got to Cascade as an associate pastor there, I tried to spend time hearing the Lord and went for a walk. I had 1 hour, 45 minutes I wrestled with distraction. 45 minutes I was thinking dirt bikes and sock drawers and everything else. And it wasn't until like 5 minutes I had left and I went, could this be spiritual warfare? And I out loud commanded in the authority of Jesus Christ anything blocking me from hearing God's voice to leave. And immediately heard a download from God that was immediately validated by God from others. So warfare, take authority over your airspace. That's huge. If you don't do the warfare, you're probably going to have a hard time hearing God regularly. My experience, other people's experience. If it's really going slow, it's okay to try on an answer, meaning, Lord, I know it sounds really lame, but let me explain it. Lord, are you saying yes here? Are you saying I should take the job? Would you talk about that? Am I hearing yes? Lord, are you saying we shouldn't buy the car? Lord, does hearing nothing now mean we're supposed to not? That's what I mean by try it on. It doesn't mean like make it up, okay? Asking open-ended question always goes better for me, okay? So we're doing this. This will blow your circuits. Just in terms of how God is. We were doing this big men's, planning this men's retreat in, I think it was 2007 at Adventure Church. We were going to do a Northwest-wide men's retreat. And we were going to advertise in the Seattle Times. We were going to try to get hundreds of men, and we were going to rent a facility up in Canada, and it was just killer. And we had this big plan, and we had four weeks that we had met as a team. We had a team of guys that were putting this thing together. And during that same time, Jeff Hansen, one of our pastors, heard that he was supposed to go to Albania and bring the Wild at Heart message to Albania. And God had spoken to me and said, you're going with him. Obey me. Okay? So while we're planning Albania, we're also planning this big Northwest men's retreat. And I'll never forget, I was coming to Starbucks in Monroe, going through the drive-thru, and I was driving in, and it was after four meetings. I said, Lord, are we supposed to do the Northwest men's retreat? We never asked him. Are we supposed to do the Northwest men's retreat? And here's what he said. Randy, I love it when you have ideas. No kidding. I love your ideas. I'll bless it. I'll go. I'll be there. I'll go with you. It'll be great. Men will come and they'll be blessed. Much healing will happen. And now my paradigm's like all messed up. I'm like, did you tell me to go to Albania? Yes, you must go to Albania. Obey me. So you're telling me if we don't do the men's retreat, it's okay? Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to do it then. Is that okay? It's going to be a lot of work. And so what does that tell you, assuming if that was God? I believe it was, but what would that tell you about his heart toward us and his posture toward us? He loves his kids. He loves to bless our ideas. It's just like you parenting your kids, right? Do you want to tell your kids every single thing to do all the time? Do you want to join them on their adventures and bless them? You do it all the time. He's just a good father, like any good parent would be, right? So he wants to do that. Okay, so listening on behalf of others. A lot of times if it's hard to get... It's hard. Sometimes hard to hear for yourself. We find that listening on behalf of others sometimes goes easier. There's not so much emotion involved. So you might try that. Listen for your spouse. Listen for your kids. Listen for a friend. Lord, is there anything you want to say to Sally? Or you want to tell me about Sally? You'd be amazed how much he'd love to share with you about others. And if you can't break through, either ask a different question. Or ask, Lord, what question should I be asking? Is there a question I should be asking? And pay attention, what question comes to your mind? And then finally, don't assume his answer yesterday applies today. So 2 Chronicles 7 is really good, where David, I'm sorry, it's not 2 Chronicles 7, yes, it is. 1 Chronicles 14. I knew I had that wrong. 1 Chronicles 14. David, the Philistines are coming against David. And he says, do you want me to go after, do you want me to go up and attack them? And God says, yes. Okay? 6 months later, same valley, Philistines come again. David doesn't assume the same answer. He inquires of the Lord again, and the Lord says, no, this time, wait till you hear the marching of in the balsam trees, in the tops of the balsam trees. That will tell you the Lord's armies are going before you. Then circle around behind them. Same situation, same valley, different direction. Okay? Don't assume what you heard yesterday applies to today. Make sense? Sometimes he'll be silent on things or give you less information simply because he wants to spend time with you. You know, he actually wants to father you. Okay, so we're going to just spend a few minutes right now before we close. And here's that list that that Bill gave us. And for some of you, I just want to give you a second to do business with this. We're going to put on some music, and I just want to invite you just to take your flip over your page, and there's some note space on the back. And we're just going to inquire of the Lord. Here's your question for him. I'm going to put some music on. Here's your question for him. Lord, is there anything on this list standing between you and I? Is there anything blocking? Now, some of you just have to write down on your thing, Lord, is there anything you want to talk to me about right now? Forget this list, okay? So let me pray over you, and then we're just going to give you a few minutes to listen. So Jesus, we ask you to come and speak to your sons and daughters. We are your sons, not slaves. We're your sons. We're your daughters. And Lord, we put that on. We recognize it. Lord, I receive that I'm a son. I want to walk in son. And Lord, would you speak to us? Is there anything on this list that's in between you and I? Anything blocking me from hearing your voice? And then Lord, for some of us, just what do you want to talk about right now? Would you speak? We got some music we're going to be putting on here, so. Thank you.
So I always hate to interrupt a time with God and listening to him, so can continue with that after we close up service here. Wanted to add one thing too. In my walk with God in this area, I've noticed some of the most intimate times where I'm just dialed in and hearing God is after I've jumped in the helicopter. So just hearing him enough to know that I'm supposed to jump in the helicopter, and then the journey after that of whatever that challenge is that he's called me into, or that mission that he's called me into, man, the experience of walking with him and hearing his voice through that adventure that he's called me up to is incredible. And you don't necessarily see that beforehand, to have that assurance that he's going to speak so clearly. But once you step into it, he's right there. So that's that faith. Next Sunday, we are going to be having, you remember a few weeks ago, we did an open mic up here where people share testimonies and the things that God's up to in their lives. That was super encouraging. We want to do that again next Sunday. We'd also love in those testimonies to hear some of your stories about hearing God. Like, as in the present, as we're going through this, how are you experiencing him showing up and speaking to you? So I'd encourage you to be just thinking through some stories that you could share next Sunday. So we're going to take offering if ushers want to come forward. I'm going to pray over that, and then we have a few announcements. So, Lord, thank you for your voice. Thank you for just how you've explained that we are your sheep and you want us to hear your voice. You're a loving Father who wants to walk with us and also help us to know those hard questions, that we don't have to just take a guess and see how it works out, but we can come to you and you can give us the wisdom and the love and the guidance that we need. So, Lord, right now we just pray that you'd bless this offering. And we come before you and just give back to you from the blessings you've brought into our lives. We pray that you continue to use these gifts and offerings to build your church, to strengthen the kingdom that you're establishing here in Duval, Lord. So we just give them over to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a few announcements.
Hey, welcome back. Here are this week's announcements. Next week, we'll be heading down to the river for Adventure Church baptisms. If you're interested in being baptized, please fill out a connection card, put down your name, your social security, and credit card number. No, I'm just messing with you. You don't have to do that. Just put down your name and the word baptism, and Jeff Hansen will contact you this week. And remember, everyone after service is invited to come down to the river to help those being baptized celebrate their commitment to Christ. Your bulletin is packed with great information. This week, there's even an update on our finances from Randy. Please take home the information inside in this bulletin. Also, it's a great way for you to stay connected with what's going on at Adventure. Speaking of bulletins, you'll find a handy bookmark inside this week's bulletin with daily reminders for how to pray for our VBC and the children and families that will be touched by this great event. The Children's Department is also collecting canned food items during the months of July and August. So bring in items any Sunday, and we'll make sure they're delivered to those in need. Yep, it's that time again. Adventure women are playing Bunko. If you're a woman, can sit in a chair and enjoy some fun, then you've got just what it takes. Join them Tuesday, July 21st at the main campus sanctuary from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Bring picnic-themed food to share. Root beer floats will be provided, and you definitely don't want to miss the fun.
Hi, folks. It's that time again. Sam. That was a bug. Hi, folks. It's that time again. Sandlot Sunday's right around the corner. Come join us for fellowship, games, and fun.
This time, we'll be organizing a co-ed softball game. There will be activities for the kids, including a jumpy house.
As usual, we will have free hot dogs, and also you will get to treat yourself to a snow cone.
Remember, as much fun as Sandlot is, our mission is to reach out to other people. So So take a flyer. They are portable.
Give one to someone that you know or even someone that you don't know.
Give them an opportunity to experience what adventure is all about. Let them see what God is doing in our lives.
Amen!
Oh, but my underarm shakes. Don't do that one.
Let's take this time also to celebrate the return of some of our missionaries, Joel and Lorena King and family, and also Chrissy Close.
Let's show them how much they are loved and appreciated.
Today, but first, three quick things. First, after service, head on over to the Connection Center. It's a great place to see what's happening in all of our other ministries here at Adventure. Second, fill out a connection card. It's your way of telling us what's happening in your life, and we want to pray for you. Speaking of prayer, number three, there's a team of prayer warriors who really want to pray for you. Honestly, for me, when I approach prayer, sometimes I think, man, nothing's wrong with my life, and everything feels okay, and I really don't need prayer, but that's not what it's about. Sometimes we're going through financial struggles. Sometimes work's hard. Sometimes relationships are difficult. And sometimes things are just really good, but we can pray in all those times. So really, if you need prayer or you feel like you just want to pray, come forward after service. We'd love to pray with you.
All right. Well, there you have it. Okay. So there you have it. One other word for the donation stuff. You can leave those at the Connection Center. There's a sign over there. And I just want to reiterate what Nick had to say about prayer and the ministry team up here. God chooses to work through our prayers. If you have settled into an attitude that things are just going to happen and God's got his hand on the wheel and it doesn't really matter if I pray or if I seek God for something going on in my life, you're wrong. I read the Bible last week, and I figured out you guys are wrong if you settled into that. That's where I was, okay? I kind of settled into a place with some of the things going on in my life that, you know what, I think they're just going to work out however God wants them to. But story after story after story in Scripture is God waiting for people to come to him, and then he moves. And history could have been different, but they prayed. So if there's something going on in your life, please come forward to the ministry team. Maybe you just want to do some more listening. Pick up where you left off in this service, listening to God. Come forward, seek prayer, maybe your relationships, you know, just whatever's going on. Encourage you to do that. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next week.